All be seated, please. Thank you, Legislator Rodriguez. Call this meeting to order. We have a motion for minutes.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
We have a couple of guests from UCAT today, including one of our own former legislative employees.
And Ulster County's newest homeowner.
Yes. And they actually have a two lates that are so late we couldn't even get them on official paper.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
343 and 344. Apparently, there's some grant money that has to be grabbed, and if we don't do it tomorrow, we're not going to get it. Jay, do you want to explain it, or should I have the UCAT guys?
You should have the UCAT guys. Yeah.
Okay. On August 3rd, we were notified that there's $1.5 million out there to grab. We watched the webinar to see what we could use it for. We submitted a resolution on 8-4, and somehow it slipped through the cracks. I realized today that it hadn't been put on. So they would come forward and got us in here tonight and accommodated us. The grant has to be in by the 21st, and that's what it's about. We really would like to use the money. We have what we would like to do. As you know, we're growing over there. We have a lot more buses. We would like to get a new bus wash with this money. Our parking lot has many grooves. It's been there since 2005 now. The weight of the buses has caused grooves. So we'd like to get our parking lot refurbished. We need to get a 35-foot bus. Wi-Fi has been talked about on some of the buses, especially at the college that we're carrying right now. We're carrying a lot of SUNY New Falls and SUNY Ulster students, and Wi-Fi would be nice. Plus, we're carrying a lot of people to the Poughkeepsie train station, and they're all looking for the Wi-Fi. So we would like to put it out for there. It's all for capital projects. None of it is for preventive maintenance. All it has to be spent on capital and things to make our...
All right, I think we get the gest of it. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, that's
fine. Good.
How much was it? A little over $1.5 million.
Hector?
$3 million, 3 to 2 resolutions.
Mr. Chair, I will move hypothetical resolutions 343 and 344, since that formally actually has to be done.
I'll second it.
Lauren. And, you know, of course, I'm going to be supportive. You know, UCAT is, in fact, you know, one of the real jewels of this county, although I would think former legislative staff would know to go put in a placeholder.
I will say this. This is not on the UCAT staff or former fiscal analyst Don Quisnell.
I didn't use names. Is that all you kept?
Mistake right? Happened on the sixth floor of this building, not up on Gold Hill Lane.
Okay. Well,
I'd call it like I saw it if it was Don's fault, but it's not.
It was Ken's fault. I believe that as well.
I'm used to taking the blame, so I'll take it.
Thanks, Chairman. I just want to say, you know, I'm not opposed to anything in that resolution, but I think it's, and I'm not mad at you guys, but it's terrible that we're voting on a $1.5 million resolution because of a mistake up here, and they're sending you guys here.
It was me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But it's a lot of money. It's not a $30,000 one or a set. I mean,
it would have been late anyway. Just the grant was awarded.
We could have had it 3 days ago. And okay. Well, thank you.
I'm sure you could follow up.
Thank you.
It's a lot of money,
Mr. Chair, and I don't want to belabor a point. So how much of this, by the way, is local share?
10% of $1.5 million.
So it's $150,000 from our end, and then it's the $1.5 million that we're getting from the state.
Still taxpayer.
No, I don't disagree. But I'm just saying, but just also let's put it in the context of, like, it's all taxpayer money. End of the day, right? Even state money that comes in, but in context, it's also $150,000 from our end. So still important, but it's also in terms of scope.
Yeah. Okay.
Kenny, you want to follow up?
Fair enough.
You can call the vote.
That was the question I was going to ask was, what was the local share? So.
Okay, if we vote on this tonight, Jay has assured me she'll have official things for us to sign tomorrow.
I'll move it.
That's been moved. It's been moved in second already.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all.
Thank
have
you.
A good night.
Thanks, guys.
Can we do different ones or one for both?
Is I think we did them both.
I moved
both?
Them both.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for coming.
Okay, we're going to 281, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 5, the Ulster County Comprehensive Campaign Finance Reform and Accountability Law.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
And you wanted to table it too, Pete, you said?
No, I'm not, no, but I've already been notified that it was going to be postponed. So...
Go ahead, Rich.
All right.
And that
you're
would
ready,
be
you're ready, no?
No,
no, you're good. You finish.
And I was just going to say, so this month...
You're a no?
No, he said he's already been told it's going to be postponed.
Oh, I thought he said he was a no.
No.
There's no one postponing.
No, oh, no one postponing it. But the bottom line is I get it. And I'm going to have an informational meeting on to discuss it with everyone this coming month.
Great. Okay.
Thanks. Pete, can I just have a couple of concerns about this law. And,
okay.
And I will be honest. And I'm not just going to write them down now. I can talk to you about it after. But here's a couple of my frustrations. One, there's a current law that's been talked about for 2 years that I don't believe you or John have reached out to the sponsors to try to come up with something that everybody can work with. All right? You know, it's we've had a public hearing on that law. So it's been totally ignored. Secondly, this law does not prevent contractors who are doing business in front of the county to still contribute money to the campaigns. And you know, it's great because the county executive or the sheriff or the clerk, the folks with 4 years, they for 3 years can still get the full amount of money from everybody doing business with the county. Then in the election year, they can get a reduced amount, but yet then the taxpayers are going to pay them if they jump into this county, you know, public financing. So I have an issue with that. It's pay to play for 3 years, and then the fourth year, well, we'll lower it down a little bit, so it's not quite as much a pay to play, but still a little pay to play. So I have an issue with that. I have an issue with the county executive has a pool of three people. The county executive picks the chairman of the committee. I think the minority leader, majority leader, and executives, three picks, should pick their own chairman. I don't see why those three folks are adults. They should be able to pick the chairman of the finance committee amongst themselves.
Well, that's just part of the reason why I want to have this meeting. When I have this information, we'll have an opportunity to talk about all of it.
Okay. I'll wait.
And if the legislature wants to make changes to it, then we'll have an opportunity at that point in time to make changes.
And the funding of this is contingent on the tax cap. So if we're having a bad fiscal year financially, there'll be no money put towards campaigns.
I mean, that's, you know.
So it's basically, if it's a good year, yeah, we'll fund campaigns, but if it's not a bad year, then this law's not really going to be effective because there'll be no money. So I'm like dumbfounded
that
Women's Voters and these organizations came out supporting it, and I'm not so sure they read it. Because this law could be passed, and in 1 year the finance director could say, well, we're having a tough budget year, so there's no money for anybody. It's a great press release, but it's really got no... All right, I'm not mad at you.
Dave, I'm just saying we could take a discussion.
All right, well, we take a look at this.
Okay.
I realize that you didn't write this. It came from the county executive, and your name was put on it, but... I really think that the body needs to take a look at this and, have a subcommittee of this group sit down and run through this piece by piece by piece. If it takes us 4 months or whatever to do it, it takes us 4 months to do it. I mean, that's, you know, this is not something that you just do, get dropped on you and do it. It's just not that kind of thing. I mean, if it's done wrong, you can see what's happened in New York City at some point. Some point it does not show up well, even though I believe the concept is correct. But having said that, I don't know if this is the exact way, like Slater Parody pointed out. So if it's a bad year financially for the county, then they won't. You won't. So then it's a pay-to-play that year. I mean, what's the story? How do you deal with it? So my take on it is... We need to run through this if that's what we want to do, and run through it piece by piece, put together 3 to 5 people and actually hammer it out.
And incorporate the other law that's here, too.
So, you know, I've already voiced my concerns in previous months with regards to this, and I'm just going to say I'm glad to learn that that at least as an issue been brought up, and that's important in of itself, and so thank you for doing that, even though I have voted to postpone it all these months because, quite honestly, well, you already know my issues, you know. I mean, I'm going to echo some of what Legislator Donaldson just said. You know, there are portions of this that you probably really... just the sort of the unintended consequences,
and that's why I want to have it
was modeled up in New York City, and modeled up after New York City's initial one back in like the 80s, you know, as part of that model.
Do you know who wrote it?
I don't know the specific author.
Okay.
But that said, though, when you read through this, you know, when I discussed this very previously, I got an hour to discuss this with V before they went and did the press conference that was done, and there were things I caught during the course of that, and that was just literally in that mere hour I had to kind of just shoot and say, wait, this is the problem. That said, I'm more than willing to serve or help with a subcommittee if one gets formed, because I think there's a lot that could be done here. So,
Kenny?
I'm fine. I had some concerns I was going to bring up about it, but we can handle that when we have our...
Right. Yeah.
I need a motion and a second to postpone.
I'll move to postpone.
Second.
All in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Thank you.
Hold on. You have to call the other side, too.
I got
to
say no.
Go ahead. If you want to move it, let's move it then. And then we'll vote it on the floor, and then we'll... I mean...
No. It's just
the sponsor doesn't want to postpone it.
No, he has to say all the ayes and all the nays. That's what I'm saying.
If you want
to
move it...
Opposed to the motion.
No, just vote no.
You're opposed.
Okay. How about you, Carl?
No, I'm an I.
Okay. Just checking.
Cool. But not a me. An I.
Well, what about you? What were you? I know what I was.
I was a yes.
Well, everybody, let's have a long roll.
So I get 5 minutes to explain my
vote. About it.
Oh, geez, please.
Does anybody want to speak on this from CSEA on the campaign?
Yeah.
Finance.
Sure. Chris Ludlow, political and legislative coordinator for CFPA, Hudson Valley. We have a number of concerns, and we'd certainly like to be involved in the conversations going forward as well. As a stakeholder in Ulster County, we have this affects us. There's the whole question of using taxpayer dollars to pay for political campaigns. You know, that's a personal choice or not. We have certainly have an issue with the fact that as a union, we represent hundreds, if not thousands, of members in Ulster County, but we'd be restricted to $1,000 for every 4 years for a county-wide fee. So for each person we represent, that's like a dollar. But somebody wealthy can do $5,000. Seems to fly in the face of unionism. It's about pulling your resources together, trying to make change. So we have some concerns.
So you're suggesting more money?
We would like to be involved in conversations going forward. Right now, we are pretty adamantly opposed to a lot of this. So.
Go ahead.
Yes. I mean, I think. I would like to see either a subcommittee formed, and if we had a subcommittee, I would like to have them added as a member of it, so they can have their input, because I'd like to see where they're coming from. So my take on it is let's have a subcommittee. Maybe the chairman of the legislature can actually appoint one and create a situation where they can be involved, and you bring one of them, have a member from CSEA.
Special committee or task force?
I'll trust your judgment on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you usually are fair about the way you put committees together, so I don't have a problem with that.
There's love in this room tonight.
No,
he said usually.
I said, hey, I said,
there's a qualifier.
And B, I mean, he does. I think he's fair with that stuff. I mean, I think sometimes his opinions are pretty bad, but I mean, that's besides the point.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it.
Thank you, Mr. Ludlow. And if you could give Jay your email address, she'll notify you of any upcoming meetings so you don't have to come here and sit for nothing.
I don't mind coming out.
We appreciate that. Thank you. Adopting local law number 15. amending the Ulster County Charter, Section C 101A, and the Ulster County Administrative Code, Section A32A.
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, before you read the whole thing, what does the committee think about taking 320 and 321 together, since they both encompass the same issue?
That's fine.
Okay, I'm going to finish up here.
You got it, sorry.
Powers and duties of the Ulster County Human Rights Commission. And if I can get a motion to block 320 and 321.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, can I get a motion to bring these to the floor? Or to
I'll make a motion for discussion.
Yep. I'll second.
Kenny, you want to start since you blocked them?
Thanks. I appreciate it. I don't believe that these are ready for adoption. I still have a lot of concerns about some of the things that are included herein. You know, some problems that I, or issues that I've brought up in the past are, you know, the position, there's a position of executive director of the Human Rights Commission. We don't have one of those. I don't know if it's the sponsor's intention to have one of those, or if that was put in there because the Westchester County law this was copied from was, you know, they have an executive director down in Westchester. I think the penalties are drastically too high. I think that you know, for a place like Westchester County, you know, it's a different world than we have here in Ulster County. I have concerns about the makeup of the commission. We have an extraordinary group of well-meaning volunteers. You know, I just appointed a new one. Very well-meaning volunteers, but are they able to make decisions on fining people $10,000 and awarding unlimited amounts of attorney's fees? You know, do we want a certain subset of professionals on there? Do we want a lawyer, a doctor, a social worker? I mean, you know, or do we want, you know, Joe Blow and, you know, others? So again, I have these concerns. I think that if we were to have some sort of a subcommittee on this, you know, we seem to be in a subcommittee mood tonight. We could come to some sort of an agreement or understanding on making changes to this law. I still don't think that we have the authority to enact this law without state authority, but people have proved me wrong in the past. If you come up with a good enough argument with, you know, precedent and whatnot.
Why don't you appoint a committee?
Boy, it sounds like I'm appointing a lot of committees.
No, you could do that.
You're going to serve?
Subcommittee here. You could create a subcommittee out of Ulster Rules.
I think we tried that once. Am I correct, Legislator Rodriguez?
Yes.
So, thank you. Am I being recognized, by the way, Mr. Chairman?
I was asking your question.
Okay, well, since you asked the question, I guess I get the right to answer it however I want to. So, so I find it interesting that we loop around again, almost as if it's a cycle, or maybe it's the snake eating its own tail.
Snake?
Snake.
Oh, sounds like a snake.
So, we have never been able to move past, and again, it's the final point that the chairman raised, you know, we could never move past the issue of authority, whereas each of the issues that he's brought up have been on the table since this resolution was introduced, what, 18 months? Not quite 18 months ago. Maybe like,
not
what,
nearly. Almost 12
it was,
months?
It was last year, though, and it was okay, maybe 12 months, right?
It might not be 12, quite. It was, but this was probably in September or October, so.
I think it was probably, but regardless, it's been here for a while, and these issues have always been on the table. However, we couldn't really get past that. As you know, Mr. Chairman, this was defeated back by this committee back in February. And
yep.
So as a result, we were only left with the option of doing a petition of discharge. And thankfully, we eventually finally had a public hearing. And mm-hmm. It was actually a really strong public hearing. I am, in fact, gratified by the amount of people who came out in support. Now, that said, these issues have always been on the table, and yet here we are now, 12, 11 months later, and now we're going to postpone it again. So, I have always been open. I think the Democrats have always been open to actually having substantive discussions about each of these pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can move past, of course, the issue of authority, which you haven't been able to move past that before.
I haven't been.
No, I understand that. But now, all of a sudden, so is this now something where you're approaching this in good faith on these particular points? Or is this just merely a way to just postpone it again?
Your counsel has not, to my recollection, pointed out where the authority lies, except to say that we have police powers. Which, if we're going to use police powers for if we're going to use police powers to institute an entirely new human rights commission with the authority to fine people, what else can we do with our police powers?
This follows exactly what Westchester and Rockland and numerous other counties have done. So
I'm not going to get into the never-ending loop.
However, if it is authentic with regards to the pieces, those individual items that you brought up,
mm-hmm.
then of course we're willing to have the conversation. However, if we can't move past, meaning if you are going to once again come up with, well, it's out of order and we've got to go, we have to now add a section on allowing the state legislature to go and give us authority, then this becomes a ruse then. So if you're telling me you're authentically willing to go come to the table, that's one thing. If it's a matter in which it's like, well, we're going to change this, this, and this, and then the poison pill is still going to be in there, and I'm still going to rule out of order. That was hypothetically on the table at one point. Not saying that that's hypothetically on the table. If it's authentic, then that's one thing. If it's not, if this is merely another ruse, then clearly then I'm not.
Can I just respond to this real quick, Dave? You mind?
I don't think that. First off, you know, it's not. You know, I believe you said a ruse. I heard that in the back of my mind. I wanted to make sure that I heard it and I wasn't just imagining you saying it. I don't believe that those two things are mutually exclusive, because I am willing to come to the table in good faith and talk about what I think are the pitfalls and errors in the local law. As it sits, but I still think that we have a authority gap. I think that we do not have the authority to do what you want to do in this law, even though Westchester and Rockland and Tompkins have done it.
Go ahead, Legislator Donaldson.
My problem here with your argument, Ken, is you often come up with that if it's something you don't care for, then it's we don't have the authority. That's problematic for me. Now, your other concerns, I understand, and I could deal with these other concerns. Do we have an executive director? Do we need to put one in that law? Well, that's the thing we should discuss and find out if that's true. Are the penalties too high? Well, then if that's the case, maybe we should be looking at the penalties. I have no problem with taking a look at that. And the makeup of the commission. Do we need to create a change in the way the commission is to assure that we have people that can actually
understand
things well enough that they would be able to issue a fine? Because that's concerning to me also. I mean, I certainly don't want to see, I want to be able to protect the human rights of everyone, but at the same time, I want to make sure we protect the human rights of those people being charged for a human rights violation, because I've seen that happen, and it wasn't true, and, you know, it looked bad, and that's one of the reasons why I think it's better to handle at home if you can, because I remember, like, I think I brought this up before, I knew an alderman that got charged for was brought up on human rights violations and saying he was this and that, and it ended up going to the state. And meanwhile, he was on the front page, and then it showed up 6 months later when the state finally made a decision, and it showed up his decision was on the back page in a little print saying that, you know, he was, in other words, exonerated of all the charges. So that's the other reason why I believe it's better to have it local so it can happen quicker. Having said that, Like I said, and I, executive director, so these other items, I can see your argument. The other one, I don't. You're just taking away the power of the legislative body and the power of the county.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I take a little offense to the assertion that I only discussed not having authority on things that I disagree with. In fact, one of my constituents, who's a gun shop owner, brought to me a concern about pistol permit amendments and wanted us to do a local law allowing the sheriff to sign pistol permit amendments. And I informed him that I was very sorry, but we couldn't do that because only the state has the authority to do that. So, I feel like I've got some integrity, at least, when it comes to... Go ahead. I saw it coming. It was bubbling up to the top. Some integrity when it comes to exercising my belief on our authority to do or not to do things equally. Not just on things that I disagree with, but also on things that I agree with. But unfortunately, in our state, there are some things that the state can do, there's some things that the county can do, and there's some things that the localities can do. We can't go around, we can't go into Hurley and issue building permits, but Hurley can't come up, can't go to the ice cream shop in Hurley and issue a health department permit. Different governments have the ability to do different things.
Carl, and then Hector.
I'm fully aware of that.
Get back to the public hearing, because I think it was a good public hearing. And what I got from that is that several Human Rights Commission members spoke.
Including
and they
the
spoke about their inability to actually execute this law unless the legislature would appropriate funding for them.
That's actually even better. And you go to Section 15.
Okay. But...
What's that?
It's go to Section 15. We'll be beginning to get into... Well, it actually says about minimum... Actually, if you notice, it'll actually say that.
Ugh. Hold on.
But I don't want to get too deep into this because now we're going to end up in a whole full-fledged discussion of the intricacies of it.
It's more complicated than just moving this to the floor.
Yeah. So... If I may, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Chair of the legislature, again, as you know, this was introduced. It was not perfect, but it was defeated in committee. So the only recourse we had was petition and discharge. And considering the timelines that were involved at that particular time. So I'm just saying, so while I understand the critique, you have to also understand the situation. So I understand that, but then we can't have, on the record here. There needs to then be an understanding of, because it was defeated at that point, at that moment, the ability to change it was thrown out the window. So its defeat in February really was sort of like that critical path that has sort of like led us to where we happen to be at this exact moment, at least up until the moment.
A lot of things that led this path, but
sure,
may be one of them.
But it's an important one of them, though, and I think even you will agree with that. So as a result, the issues you have raised, many of them, of course, they've been on the table since the beginning, since this was introduced. So I am assuming there's going to be a motion to postpone. I'm assuming there will be at least maybe another subcommittee to go and maybe actually finally actually have the conversation about some of these details. And I understand that. So, all right.
One thing that I would request, Mr. Chairman, if there is to be a subcommittee on this, Legislator Belfilio brought up the fact that a few human rights commissioners, including the chairman of the Human Rights Commission, came to the legislature to say that they had absolutely no idea that this was even put in until reading about the public hearing. I would ask that we include at least the chairman of the Human Rights Commission, and then he can trickle that down to the rest of the commissioners on any meetings that we have on this, because I think it's important to get their points of view.
And Mr. Chairman, I strongly urge you to appoint a committee where you could put members of the Human Rights Commission on that committee and appoint a chairman instead of having a subcommittee from here where we've already went over this 100 times. Maybe a second set of eyes would help this. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I think you could do a subcommittee, and if you did a subcommittee, then you would just invite those people to have them come in, and then the members of the subcommittee could agree that if you're going to be doing that, if that's the route you want to take, then they can agree that they would have some members from the commission sit in on it and actually get their voice opinion on it before we bring it back. I mean, that's the idea, but I mean, it's, I don't know what to tell you.
Can I get 3 to 5 volunteers to sit on this subcommittee? Anybody over there?
Hey. Carl.
Hey, you got three there. Pete, Jennifer, and Hector. Have at it.
Just a point of order. Just a point of order. I don't think you can point Legislator Berkey because she doesn't sit in this committee.
She raised her hand.
I know.
Yeah, but they have to stay with you. In order for you to appoint a subcommittee, it has to be appointed from within the members of your committee.
Richie.
Yeah.
Richie volunteered. And I serve ex officio, so I'll be there as well.
Poor Richie.
There you go.
No, I don't mind.
How about it?
All right, so I'm assuming, since right now you're going to have to make a motion.
Wait a minute. Is this going to be for both laws?
No. Both of the comprehensive human rights laws.
Yes.
The charter change and the law itself.
Yeah, 15, 16. They were
15 and 16.
That's easy.
That's fine.
So
I'd like to make a motion to create the subcommittee.
You need no motion. The chairman can, by fiat, create the subcommittee, which he just has.
Yes, but you have to actually...
I'm working on it.
No, you're actually missing a motion in between.
No, hold on. I make a motion that we postpone...
There it is.
15 and 16, pending the actions of the subcommittee.
That would be 321 and 322 for the record. And
320 and 321.
Yes.
I'm hoping to come to some sort of understanding by the end of the year.
Pete, they can't. It could basically just be to the end of the term.
Hector, did you second that?
No.
I'll second.
He's going to oppose it.
You said you want to postpone. All right.
All in favor?
On the postponement?
Aye.
There's nobody grandstand to it, so I guess not.
Hold on.
Oh, okay.
All in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Post?
Opposed.
Thank you all.
We are going to 322, adopting proposed local law number 18, 16, a local law prohibiting discrimination on the basis of gender identity at places of public accommodation, resort, or amusement.
I make a motion for discussion, Mr. Chairman.
I'll second.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I know that prior to having the public hearing, we made an amendment to Section 8, which was the effective date. At the public hearing, much discussion and public comment was given on Section 8. I have a proposal to bring to this committee and to the sponsor, who I'm glad is here. One thing that became glaringly obvious as I sat up at the dais listening to the public comment was that many of the people, many of whom were transgendered individuals who live here in Ulster County, came talking about wanting to be treated equally and wanted the same protections as everybody else. And I could not possibly agree more. But as I sat there, I thought about the fact that this law, while well-intentioned, would create a super protected class. These people would be the only people that our Human Rights Commission could issue fines for the discrimination of. Every other protected class that our Human Rights Commission meets on is the process of conciliation and mediation.
I'm sorry.
So my proposal is to take the effective date and return it back to, you know, that the law becomes effective upon filing with the Secretary of State in exchange for taking out the penalties and replacing the enforcement with the same enforcement that we have for every other violation of human rights that goes to our Human Rights Commission, and leaving the entirety of the rest of the law intact except for that one section that we all agreed should come out in the definition of place of public accommodation, resort, or amusement.
For specificity, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
You want to basically delete out in Section 8 this law shall take effect 60 days following the authorization of...
Correct.
So, well, you're taking out...
No,
it
would be...
You're deleting out authorization...
Section 8 would then read... this law shall take effect immediately upon filing with the Secretary of State.
Right. Are you moving that? You moving that as an amendment?
No, not yet.
Oh, I see.
No, because it's a package deal. It's not.
Oh, I see.
It's not. You know, it's not a buffet.
Oh, so Monty Hall is in fact the room, and it's let's make a deal. Okay.
No, it's not. Let's make a deal. It's again. I'm not talking about making deals. I think it's important for this legislative body to take a stand take a stand against the discrimination on the basis of gender identity.
Okay.
Agreed. I believe that, you know, after thinking about it, I think the best way might be in the form of a local law. But I think that until such time as we have a comprehensive human rights law where we can issue fines and maybe we have a different, you know, a commission with a different makeup, I think that we should take out the penalties and change the enforcement.
So then we're deleting Section 5.
It would be to delete Section 5. I have proposed language. I didn't have it here. I can make copies. Because I wanted to come here with the openness of the possibility of coming to an agreement.
Can we get copies?
Would you mind making copies, Jay?
What else do you want to take out, Ken?
It would be taking out a large portion of the enforcement section where it talks about you know Article 78 and enforcement officers and that sort of thing, and it actually replaces the Section 4, which is enforcement, with a new section called remedy. But I'm fine with, because it's the remedy for the local law. It's tough to have a local law without having penalties, and then what's the enforcement become at that point? It's conciliation and reconciliation. But it would also include that unresolved complaints that were brought would be reported to the State Human Rights Commission for their consideration.
Yeah, but that if it's at least allowing, and again, this was sort of, and again, Legislator Berkey should really be jumping in on this one. I don't want to go and speak for Jen on this, but part of it was that the local commission would be doing findings, and then in this case, issuing fines, and then the local board, right? Again, somewhat similar to with the comprehensive, but the local board would in fact be more empowered as a result of this particular law by going in the other direction on this. But again, I have not seen the amendment, so I don't really want to be very blunt. I'm not exactly comfortable commenting until I've actually seen it. But it sounds as if we are going back. We're taking a step back on that.
Well, I mean, one of the biggest concerns I had with this law as it pertains to authority, this law, as opposed to yours is predicated upon police powers, Article 10. This is predicated upon Article 12D, which does not allow for fines. Even if we, you know, our 12D commission doesn't fine people. So the predicate for this law, the enforcement the authority that it draws from doesn't have the authority to fine. So what I tried to do when drafting the language was use the the section where the authority was drawn from into the enforcement, which is, you know, conciliation, mediation.
Mr. Chair of the committee, if I may suggest, while Jay is out making copies, can we actually, for the moment, temporarily postpone 18 and, or rather just for the moment, jump ahead to 323 so we can just vote on that, so we're all not here just basically waiting around? Are we okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Oh, no, Jay, just let's just do this anyway. Do 323 real quickly.
Wait, which one's 323? Oh, yes.
I'll second 323.
Any comments on 323?
No. Does anybody have any concerns about it? I understand that there were previously. So.
Now, from what I understand, if we don't pick up this surcharge, the state is going to collect it.
That's correct.
So this is not a new fee.
This is a fee that has already been assessed by the county previously. The state now decided, instead of allowing us to assess it locally, they're assessing it at the state level onto their fee, and they're generously remitting to us the portion that we used to assess to cover emergency communications services. And if we don't pass this law, the state just going to collect it all.
Yep.
So in a sense, it is a new fee, but in places
it's really the old fee. It's the old fee.
How about a different name for the old fee?
Yes.
No, I understand that.
I guess I could kind of support that.
Yeah, which went before.
Yeah.
No, I was at first when I opposed it, but then when I looked at it closely, the state is going to collect the money. Actually,
the wire.
It's probably better.
It's not like the
people state are
what? What's
money
wire?
For
us.
So we're taking it from this.
All right.
All in favor of 323?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yeah. All right. And now, Mr. Chairman, if we may resume.
Now back to...
Did I give you the right
thing? Local law 18.
Local law 18.
Yep.
Yes.
Can I?
Go ahead, Bridge.
No. I have to leave. I have to get my son to football practice, Thursday practice. But I was hoping we could maybe discuss the Board of Elections one, but I'll talk about that.
No, I'm not even here.
I'm just concerned about election night reporting.
Yeah.
I'd like to get all this stuff straightened out before.
In fairness, I actually told her that she didn't need to show up. So.
Oh, well, I had questions for her.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, no, I mean,
And
as
yeah.
a Democratic nominee, I'm just saying, you know. That
I get it.
The election night's reporting's been terrible, and we need to appoint people that are going to fix it.
To remedy that, if you want, I'll actually ask Ashley to show up to caucus, and if you want, because you guys...
Excellent, I appreciate it.
You know, quicker than we do, and that way you guys can come up and actually ask that question. I did not realize that was going to be an issue, and I'll own it.
To me, that's an important...
No, and I'll own it, because it was a matter of...
It's because...
She was a Democratic women thing otherwise.
Because in the past...
Really?
They used to call the numbers in. And election night, they call the numbers in, there on the screen. Victor Work,
Rich,
change the policy that you got to drive down to the sheriff's department to come back, and you're reading on Facebook about who won the elections, and at 2 in the morning, the county's updating them finally, and everybody's like, are you guys kidding me?
For clarity's sake, because of where we're dealing with local law 18, I'm going to have her come to caucus, bring it up there, and that
I'll
way
be honest
make
with you,
it
I mean, I'm at the point now with the technology, get it right. Yeah. If somebody calls in 15 votes instead of 150, it gets straightened out the next day.
No, I got it. All right, so... I'll have her come tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. And I'm going to talk to her about some votes she disqualified that lost in the next process, which is concerning.
Okay.
What's that?
Local law 18.
Disqualified votes that turned out that they were legal votes.
Yeah, I know that.
Signatures.
I voiced my opinion.
When you act as a commissioner, you get overturned. It's not a very good.
All right.
So see everybody.
Local law 18. No,
thank you, Rick.
See you tomorrow.
Good night.
Local law 18.
Let's finish.
So we now have it in front of us. We can look at it.
Yes. Right. So the first change is in section 2, subsection C, where we took out the or any other. We removed the but shall also include any place in Ulster County that is open to the general public. That, I think, was uniformly agreed needed to be removed from this because it would include schools, and we're not looking to legislate into the schools.
We don't have that authority.
Correct.
Well, you do have the authority.
For right now, look, Ken, just
you don't have the authority over the schools, but you do have an authority to actually say everywhere if you want to.
I'm going to let them finish.
I think that there were uniform agreement on that. If I remember correctly, right, from the last 13 right times we talked about right this.
So many times you know. All right.
So then the new section
is four.
Is section four, which is the remedy, which the first half of it, and I'm sorry it's not in bold, the first half of it is the first paragraph from the enforcement of the original, and then the second half is...
So the can we get into any person who deserves... That's the new part, right? That's pretty much where the bold would begin?
Yep.
Where it says, any person who desires to register a complaint under correct this local law may do so in writing to the Ulster County Human Rights Commission within 15 days of the alleged discrimination. The Ulster County Human Rights Commission shall engage in a process of conference, conciliation, and persuasion to resolve such complaints. The Ulster County Human Rights Commission shall... after consultation with the complainant, may report unresolved complaints to the State Division of Human Rights. Nothing there herein shall be construed to create or provide for a private right of action or any other remedy not expressly provided herein.
That is that the last sentence is hey nice.
By the way, that was also so it's on the record for the tape. So
That last sentence is to prevent this local law from becoming carte blanche to enter into private torts.
I have a...
Pete, go ahead.
I have a quick question. I don't see it as part of this, but I know that I brought this up a long time ago. The discrimination regarding a person's credit when it comes to hiring practices.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to include that in this?
This is about gender identity.
Yeah, and that's in the comprehensive. Yeah, that's in there.
I don't see it in there. That's why I'm.
Yeah, no, that's in the comprehensive human rights law.
Okay.
Because our human rights commission does not currently have the ability to handle complaints about.
That's fine. But I have the reason I'm asking that is because I don't see it in the comprehensive. Okay. Okay.
Okay, back on track.
Right. And I bring this forward in all good faith to say is this maybe it's a jumping off point to a final resolution, but I feel like this accomplishes the goal of making a statement against the discrimination on the basis of gender identity. It puts Ulster County on the record. And it does so under the current confines of our Human Rights Commission. I think that this is a win for the county.
But by doing so, and again, let me just read off for those who may be listening at some point, because when you get into Section 4, no, just so people actually just understand what the hell we're actually debating or talking about. When you begin to get into even within Section 4, which is under enforcement, right? We start getting into the enforcement officers making a determination after a hearing that a violation of this local law has occurred. It gets into, of course, the civil penalty, which I know right now we're talking about removing because that becomes Section 5. Mm-hmm. So I understand the portions of this. Once you start talking about the idea of removing a civil penalty, yes, you then have to remove those sections even through there. But you're also getting into, for example, and I'm going to actually have to admit some level... Like you've still got the 15. Let me make sure I'm comparing apples to apples. Any person who desires to register a complaint under this local law may do so to the Human Rights Commission within 15 days of the alleged discrimination. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that part carried over from C, right? D. Well, I guess D is always preeminent no matter what. Anybody can file a Article 78, pretty much.
Well, and the Article 78 being specifically delineated here is because there are fines assessed, and that's you have to have some sort of a due process afterwards, especially when you've got volunteers giving out fines.
All right, but
that's the remedy to the aggrieved.
And again, this is the way I just have the clarity on it. You're in essence that sort of takes care of portions of B, C, and D. Although the whole concept of an enforcement officer becomes that's a different point that we'll maybe circle back to later. Mm-hmm. But that takes care of B, C, and D. But when we get into A, right, the enforcement officer may cause to have issued or served upon the person complained against written notice together with a copy of the complaint made against him, which shall specify the provisions of this local law, which such person is said to be in violation, and the statement of the manner in which that person is said to violate, and it shall require that person so complained against to answer the charges of such a complaint at a public hearing before the Human Rights Commission or its designated hearing officer at a time not less than 30 days after the service of this notice. That now has gotten lost, as I read it, and again, you can tell me if I'm wrong. We've now basically lost all of that component out of A. That's not in here in your revision at all.
No, my revision has our Human Rights Commission handling this the same way they handle every other complaint that comes to them, in the same manner that they handle every other complaint that comes to them. What that amendment would do is, you know, provide for exactly what the speakers at the public hearing asked for, which was equality with every other party that.
Okay, I'm going to yield to the
makes complaints.
Isn't all of this already in the purview of the Human Rights Commission?
So what?
Isn't all of this already in the purview of the Human Rights Commission?
Meaning without this?
Nick?
Hypothetically, yes.
I'm not sure I understand the question. What do you mean all this?
Can't they already do this?
They already do this, and they're already entitled to
the meaning portion, the revision.
Speaking the portion of the proposed local law, Section 4, I think yes. The rest of it, no. The rest of it is...
they're not entitled or empowered by the state to hear any case of discrimination.
I think this does is make clear that there's a prohibition and provides a remedy. Currently, I'm not aware of any local law with the language that's being proposed here at the county level. Unless I have a misunderstanding.
I think Legislator Berkey's question, if I could be so bold, is
sure.
To say that if a transgendered individual brings a complaint to the Human Rights Commission, do they hear it now? And I believe the answer to that is yes. I think that what your comment back was that the difference is that now Ulster County is taking a stand and saying that this kind of behavior is prohibited and directs people to the Human Rights Commission.
I think that's an accurate restatement.
So the goal, I mean, to me, most of the comments that I heard is, we want our county to take a stand. We want our county to not be the last county to take a stand against discrimination of transgendered people. I heard those comments, and this, to me, I've pondered it long and hard. I've spoken to a large number of people, including some of the people who spoke at the public hearing, and this is what I came up with. It's a local law. It's a prohibition. It's Ulster County taking a stand against discrimination of transgendered individuals, and it operates inside our current limitations on what the Human Rights Commission can and can't do.
Hector.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, and I'm going to apologize if this feels mean or...
Accepted.
Or belittling or anything like that, but in a way, have we now just in some level just gone from what let's say Berkey proposed, a much more robust system, to now what may almost be considered memorializing? Oh wait, we don't do memorializing resolutions anymore.
No, I do not believe this is a memorializing resolution since it's a local law. But that having been said, you may disagree with the strength of the law. I don't.
Okay.
We're really gonna put our foot down and not prohibit discrimination on the basis of gender identity over $250?
I'm going to defer to this.
That's not directed towards you, Legislator Berkey. That's directed towards Legislator Rodriguez.
It's not the 250. Because it's not the 250. It's in fact the whole the concept of in which they were putting some additional sort of meat to our own local commission, even within a, as I kind of would call it, a 12D universe. Right?
So you're telling
now,
me,
that
hold
said,
on.
Hold on, no, if I may finish,
You may, I apologize.
Because it's not just a matter of the penalties. Like, I could probably find agreement with regards to the penalty, because that is a unique feature of this law that no other law that we currently enforce at a local 12D commission has. I can understand that argument. I'm talking about that there are still pieces in 4 that are not exactly transitioning over in your modification. Now, ultimately, I'm going to defer to the sponsor, not only because she's the original, the author, as well as, of course, a member of my caucus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's been the case since day one on any of this stuff. I'm merely just saying that we clearly have lost something in translation, as translations often do.
Can I just... You know, Dave hasn't spoken in a while. Dave, you go first.
I have to echo what Legislator Rodriguez is saying. Like, for instance,
speaking of the microphone, when you say that,
you don't have decision of any hearing officer shall be reviewable pursuant to Article 78. In other words, you should be adding that back in, allowing. In other words, because people should know that they have the right to file an Article 78 if they're not satisfied, so on. So that should actually be added back in.
I don't think that there's a need for an Article 78 absent a fine. I mean, that's, you know, you have no standing to grieve under an Article 78 unless you've been fined. I mean that the Article 78 is there to you know for the fined party to grieve the fine. Absent that, I don't see standing. I mean, I could be wrong, Nick.
Oh, it's a different schemata that you've got here.
Schemata? Is that like stigmata? What is it?
The 1600 SAT word right there.
I can Google it and text it to you. it's a different setup. It's not punitive. It has a setup that involves mediation, conciliation, so there's no final government action being taken under this law that would be agreed by either the complainant or the respondent, either in the form of the issuance of a fine or a dismissal on a finding of no probable cause. In either of which cases, the aggrieved party could take it under the Supreme Court judge through an Article 78 mechanism. This is a non-punitive proposal, so there would be no aggrieved party. If the parties didn't resolve their issue, there's an option after consultation with the complainant, the local commission can report it to the state division. It's not the initiation of a complaint. That would be left up to the complainant to decide whether they wanted to do it or not.
Go ahead, Ken.
Thank you. I understand, Legislator Rodriguez, you're talking about, you know, some of these things that are getting, quote, lost in translation. But
great movie, by the way.
Are we just assuming that our Human Rights Commission doesn't do their own investigation and doesn't do a lot of these things already for other, you know, for all other forms of discrimination?
But to a certain degree, this actually puts it a bit more concretely, and additionally, when we get into the issue of, you know, the term enforcement officer, that part is a bit more, you know, robust than I think even when you get into, and again, when we start talking about 12D, it then refers back to then other, was it three, and again, Nick, help me with this one, the subsections of enforcement, in which, sadly, I've been looking at this not that long ago, but still, it's like, when you actually go back farther into 12D, it actually begins to actually outline some of those processes that the commission sort of takes, but it doesn't go into necessarily, specifically, enforcement officer, right? You know,
not an enforcement officer.
Part of that was just what I. You can go back to the team.
But we have a number of enforcement officers.
But you just lost. I know, but
Human
you just
Rights
lost
Commission
a,
members.
Because while I can understand that B, C, and D, I can understand. I mean, D is self-explanatory.
Yep.
You always have that. C's already been pushed over into there. You know, B, because B gets into talking about Section 5, and that largely touches up to that. I understand. Once you take out the idea of a penalty. You know, I get that, but it's going to be basically the sections within A that where the teeth of this resolution sort of get lost. And I understand that this is your sort of, you know, offer. Like I said before, you know, from our perspective, I kind of feel like you just defanged it. I'm using teeth as a
Apparently.
Okay, Mr. Chair, are you going to offer this to Legislator Berkey as an amendment?
I don't want to be confrontational about it. So okay. If Legislator Berkey is open to it, I'm willing to offer it. If not, then
I agree.
I mean I wanted to bring it here in the spirit of compromise and cooperation because I think it's important that we take this stand.
Get a spot.
I'm going to let Dave finish up and then you can.
You know, when I look at this, and one of the complaints I kind of had from the beginning on this particular thing was that it seemed like the Human Rights Commission was given powers that it doesn't presently have. But I was hoping that the comprehensive one, and that passed, then this would fit perfectly with it.
It would almost supersede it.
So you're probably right.
$10,000 fine to $250 fine.
But yes. So I don't know. Perhaps, I mean, it would work. It works for the sponsor.
Oh,
we're all looking at you.
Well, they're both academics, since the $10,000 and the $250 are neither in effect yet. It is our intention to have the power that is protected if such another law is effective. The purpose of this, and it's no longer in the, I guess you could say, legislative intent of this change proposal, which, to my view, appears to be anonymizing because it doesn't have anything in it that is presently a power of the Human Rights Commission, which, by the way, I object to the statement that Joe Blow sits on the Human Rights Commission because it already is an extremely esteemed group of professionals that we have from the Human Rights Commission, who I think are equal to those of any candidate. And it is not the same as what other counties have done to protect their transgender individuals. So I don't think that it's as far as we can go, and I don't think we need the permission of the state. I actually had a conversation with the Attorney General's office about this, and they said that we are indeed not taking it on. They won't take on advisory statements or opinions, but they don't believe that we need, it's just verbal, they don't believe that we need
the
State Assembly
said
it to give us
a
little
power. Well, he took it out of this because he was changing it.
I get that.
I agree with your statement. We do have a very good Human Rights Commission, a very effective one. There's some really good people on it. But having said that, to defend what you did say is there should be a way, when we're going back to the human rights things, in order to assure that we have and continue to have good people, because, all it takes is somebody to make some appointments that aren't so good. When we do the more extended human rights, I think, there should be an education factor or something like that, an education thing that goes with it.
Absolutely.
That they would be educated as to what their powers are and what, in other words, the consequences can be if they find somebody that is, falsely fined and so on and so forth. They should really get a good comprehensive education. So I would agree, but we do have a good commission. It's probably the best commission we've had in a very long time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To respond to, I apologize. I did not mean any offense to the offense that you had mentioned about the Human Rights Commission. I should have said John Q. Public, because right now anybody can serve on the Human Rights Commission as long as I appoint them, or Legislator Rodriguez appoints them, or the county executive appoints them. And I did multiple times talk about, you know, in this meeting and in, I think, each other meeting about what great, well-meaning volunteers that we have on there. But there's no requirement that they be skilled in social work or you know, or the law or any other thing.
Call the question. Absent of an amendment, I'm going to call the question on 322.
Then at this point, I'll just for the, I mean, I didn't hear that there was no agreement to an amendment, so I'll at this point make this amendment.
I just would like to say it would be unfair to all of the constituents who have worked with me this far and worked with us this far to make a decision without consulting with them.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I'm correct, we can't make an amendment in committee without the approval of the sponsor.
Then at this time, I make a motion that we postpone this until next month, pending Legislator Berkey's discussion with the stakeholders that she worked with.
Well, I'm one of those stakeholders, so then you have my permission. Whatever you feel is fine with, well, I'll be fine with it.
I'm speaking for a very large part of the many people who testified, and they've worked with me, so it's not really not my place to bargain on their behalf.
Again, absent an amendment or a second to Kenny's motion, I'll call the question on 322.
I'll second his motion.
On the motion to postpone, all in favor?
Aye.
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 No.
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 Jay, are you doing the count?
I didn't hear Dave.
No. Oh.
3-4 motion postpone fails.
All in favor of 322 as is?
Aye.
I'm a no.
I'm a no.
No.
Nine. What's the score?
3-4 to 3 fails.
Like I said, I've always supported this. I'm an aye.
To me, just an editorial statement. I think that we're, you know, with it's got the it's got the effective date in there. It goes against what every single person on, you know, who came to speak before us asked for it. Now, so, just throwing that out there.
It's true. Because now it adds poison pill in it.
3-2-3
It's really disappointing that we can't all band together to support.
I'm going to go to 3:40, Ken, if you're done.
I'm fine. I'm done.
3-2-3
There'll be plenty of time for that next month.
Did
when it comes up again in the same form.
Did it pass?
4-3
Pass 4-3
Oh, yeah. It'll come up tomorrow night. That'll make it fun.
All right.
All righty. Here we go.
3:40
John, you're here.
Adopting the principles of New York State Code of Rules and Regulations and Policy of Ulster County. John, take it away. John, come on down here.
John, all yours. You.
Me?
We're doing Legislator John Parody.
We're doing 3:40
My hearing's going. My eyesight's going. What's up?
How about 3:40
Okay.
That one's the one that you put in.
Pardon?
The one you put in.
Yes. Look. This. The folks in this community deserve the respect, the dignity, and the protection from all of us.
Mm-hmm.
After the last meeting, when I heard the debate about the amendment, and it would now not become law or not become effective because the Senate will never do it or the legislature will not do it, I spoke to one of the reporters there, Ms. Mitchell. I said, Governor Cuomo came out with the most comprehensive, far-reaching, inclusive executive order on protecting the transgender community. I feel very strongly about it because in my life and in my job, I may know and be friends with as many people in this community as most of you combined. And if what I understand, there is nothing on the books right now. I don't care what you negotiate as you go down the road. I think we have to show the community that we're on their side, that we absolutely agree with it. And what we're doing, excuse me, is codifying the governor's position. We're making it our policy. This is not a memorializing resolution.
Neither was
I. Pardon?
No, go on.
Don't make me react when I don't want to.
Promise, I'll be quiet.
I don't have it in front of me right now. I do have my notes down there. There's two or three little things in there that make it not a memorializing resolution. And I want to protect or let the folks in this community know that we support them and we are opposed to the discrimination and the abuses that they've had to put up with over their lifetime. What are you pointing at, Dave?
Oh, well, you said that was your...
Huh?
Dave yeah. wants to speak.
Go ahead. So that's what I got to say. To me, you know, I asked a bunch of questions over the last month or two about how the executive's order, the executive order, which is presumed constitutional and has been considered constitutional over its lifetime, wasn't adequate. I never got an answer.
I did offer.
I never got an answer.
I offered to answer.
No, you talked about something else the day of the meeting. I very specifically asked to give it in writing to me as how the executive's order was inferior or not necessarily supportive of the community. So I put this in. If you guys can come up with a compromise, or guys can come up with something that protects the community, I support it. Mm-hmm. If not, do this and work on the rest of your problems.
Thank you, John. Go ahead, Kenny.
Thank you. John, I wanted to just make mention, you know, in my many meetings with Jeff Rindler from the LGBTQ Community Center across town, he had made his only comment to me on this resolution was that you know the definition there's a lot of different pieces of the definition of transgender in your whereases. I had a proposal to just to standardize it in the first one and then add a here and after known as for the rest of the whereases. And I'll read that out loud, and I can provide copies to people if you want.
Question: the gentleman you talked to,
yeah,
does he understand that? Did he agree with that?
I haven't talked to him since I
want to make it right,
because
I feel very strongly about it.
The definition I used came out of Legislator Perkey's local.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Which I believe is the standard.
Where is the definition? You got it.
It's the definition of. Gender in
copies. And you put it in where is it?
I don't know if everyone's going to be receptive or not. Why am I going to it's the Rob Parody law.
If you're going to
offer the paper.
If you're going to really that was of all of your excuses that was the one.
Legislator Berkey.
To invoke Legislator Bartel's lien.
I don't know why I would have to put into writing how the executive order is different from what's being proposed under agenda, because it says how it's different. It only covers employment. I said it that night. It's written in the law. It only covers employment. It doesn't cover all the other forms of discrimination. So credit, for example, housing. It doesn't cover all of those things. And then this is a very interesting turnaround, because we were told that we are required to follow executive orders, and that's the reason we didn't need this law, this one that I proposed. And now we would be adopting an executive order, which we're already required to follow, which makes it a memorializing resolution.
Not really, because if you're... Because what you're doing here is if you're codifying in local law this, then you're codifying that we adhere to this whether the governor or not rescinds it at some point or changes things. We will follow those rules for our local laws.
Not according to our professor, our shared professor, Benjamin, who says that if you do not need to codify, and we can defer to majority counsel, you do not need to codify something that's already in state law. We are an arm of the state where it is not stated.
Well,
Carl,
just
John,
to that...
Can I say something?
John wants to say something, and you could...
Number one, when you codify something, that's our policy, even if some future governor who will never reverse it does. But I want to read some testimonials from the governor's thing, from Senator Brad Holman, a testimonial about the governor's transgender law. Senator Daniel Squadron, Assemblyman Deborah Glick, Assemblyman Harry Bronson, Assemblyman Richard Gottfield, maybe the longest serving legislator up there. Nathan Schaefer, Executive Director of the Empire State Pride Agenda.
He's gone now.
NESPA Board Chairmen Norman Simon and Melissa Schwartz, all praising the governor for coming forward. You can have something better. That's right. Right now, there's nothing on the books for those folks in Ulster County who are part of that community. And when you say, well, the executive order can be rescinded, not in Ulster County, it can't.
John, hopefully you give them letters to Jay for the record, and Legislative Berkey, you want to finish up?
I'm sorry. I haven't had an opportunity to say anything.
Thank you for reminding me.
That's how I every month, I hear the word executive order, and there was no executive order, right?
Yeah, there was.
No, there wasn't.
Yes, there was.
No, there wasn't. There was a change in the New York Code of Rules and Regulations, and then there was a provision in the Human Rights
That's
Law.
That's an executive order.
There were an executive order.
Nick, why don't you rule on that? Was it an executive order?
So my understanding is it's both. There was first an executive order, but that only applied to state employees and matters of employment. What we've been discussing is this 466.13 is a regulation that's promulgated by the commissioner that the state division then uses as an interpretation of the Human Rights Law. Okay, the definition of sex or what have you now includes transgender experience or dysphoria individuals, and it permits the state division to use kind of complaints. So this is a regulation. So if you just view it as like a layer cake, the executive order is the weakest. The regulation is kind of intermediate level, and then an actual ordinance or law, if you will, passed by the legislature, signed by the governor, would be the strongest. But what's in effect now is a regulation.
Thank you for clarification.
Just as a second part of that is that, yes, we have to uphold the laws of the state of New York. So in the human rights law, there is a section that relates to transgender, and it's got everything in it. Okay? Now, I think that this resolution 340 is probably an easier way of going about and doing things instead of micromanaging our Human Rights Commission. But I don't agree with the law anyway. After hearing the public comment on, I don't think the law is necessary, and a tremendous amount of my constituents do not agree with this law. So I'm a no anyway, but I just thought I'd bring that up. I don't believe that anything that's pertaining to this law was an executive order. It was already put in the New York State Human Rights Law and in the New York State Code of Rules.
Barring no further discussion, I'll...
I got to ask, I don't see... we, right now, the new one that we were just... we just passed out of here.
Well...
We just passed the resolution, the transgender resolution.
The law, yeah.
And in that law, what it says is, in the end, is if it's okay when the state says it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's got that little poison pill in there.
upstairs. And the fact is, that is a poison pill. And then you put a poison pill in there. We just passed one with a poison pill.
No, I voted no on the poison pill.
You voted for the poison pill.
After you put the poison pill in the first place, then you voted no? That's like I assassinated you, and then I said no.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't want it. I felt we don't need the poison pill in there.
That's right.
But anyway, having said that, in a way, what Legislator Parity is saying is if this gets passed, then you have something on the books, codified, without a bill, until the other one comes forth.
Poison or otherwise.
If it does, if it gets past that idea and the legislative body okays and the state and the governor signs it allowing us to do it, then we do it.
Okay, do you mind if I call the question?
Now? Nope, go ahead.
Are we not going to entertain any of the things that I brought, or no?
I don't have any problem with that. What do you got? What would say you made?
The changes, there's various forms of, what's generally known overall as transgender, gender dysphoria, gender identity different than that of birth, whose gender and self-image do not fully accord with the legal sex assigned at birth. What I did was I took Legislator Berkey's definition from her law, including whose gender identity, self-image, appearance, behavior, or expression is different from that traditionally associated with the legal sex assigned to that person at birth, and I wrote hereinafter known as transgender individuals. And then each place where it describes those individuals, I've replaced it with transgender individuals.
You're going to make that in a motion?
I'll make a motion that we make this amendment.
And
do you have a problem with that amendment?
Is that a yes, you got a problem, or yes, you're okay?
That's okay.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. It's a tough one. You can't hear, he doesn't.
Pardon?
I'll take
some. How about a second on this motion?
Carl seconded it.
All in favor of the motion?
Of the amendment.
On the amendment.
On the amendment.
The amendment.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
What'd you say?
Aye. On the amendment, obviously.
Barring no further motions or amendments, all in favor of...
I see no problem doing this ahead of time.
Nay.
Aye.
Aye.
I'm an aye.
How about the noes?
No.
No.
Aye.
That's the odd couple.
5-2.
Right?
No.
I'm a no.
Right.
5-2.
I was right.
Yeah, you're right.
I thought it was
me. No, it was me and Carl.
Oh, we got one more.
Which one?
Don't pack up yet. That's right.
I gave that one away, right?
You did.
Okay, 342.
This is Ashley.
Yeah, 341. Yep, 342. Right.
342, appointing Ashley Didis as Commissioner of Board of Elections. What did I call her?
Didis.
Didis. She's never corrected me.
Excellent. Then I'm calling her Didis now.
Yeah,
Barbara.
I will say...
No. I texted her already. She'll be here. She'll be here. For
I also, like Rich, am not a little happy with certain things that she's done recently.
I think we all have concerns about the BOE, but this may not be the time to...
Well, it's also a Democratic appointment.
Yeah. I am a little disappointed that she's not here because, to my recollection, since I served on this committee, every time the commissioners are appointed, they come to the committee and then they come to the legislative meeting. So, but I understand that it's because the minority leader informed her that her presence was not required.
Yes,
so I won't hold her accountable.
Are you voting yes or no?
I'm waiting until I'm still deciding. We have motion and second.
All in favor of appointing the Democratic BOE?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. That was the best Hector I could do.
Can't do the eyebrow. Yeah,
what about passing it down that way, Dave?
Really?
Let's get past where I don't even know. All right.
New Earl business. Hearing none.
Just as an FYI, though, just 341. Just look it over. That was done on purpose. That it's a just bringing it up, but it's not. Obviously, it's not tonight. You did.
Hearing right. No further comment, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Yeah. Thank you all.